Open your Bibles, Luke chapter 10, Luke chapter 10, as we continue. Some that may not know, what we do is we strive to go verse by verse. Sunday morning, we're going through the book of Luke. Sunday night, we just began last Sunday night, the book of 1 Corinthians. And then on Wednesdays, we're going through the book of Exodus. Thank you here. I guess I could use that one too. That's good. All right. I know it's now anticlimactic because you all know where Prestone antifreeze fits within this message. You don't. You never know where I'm going. You think I know where I'm going? Sometimes. But we'll have a good time. Luke chapter 10. I want to just do one little thing reviewing from last week. And I want to just take you, and then we're gonna get into verses 17 through 24. Remember last week, look at this. Jesus was warning the people that were given such great blessings, that were his presence, his great work. And so he talked about, verse 12. But I say unto you that it is more tolerable in the day for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto you, verse 13, Chorazin, woe unto you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which had been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. You know, what a statement Jesus makes. I want to take you, and I had never made this connection before, but I think the connection and the timing is right. I want to take you back to Mark chapter 8. I just want to show you something. This is a freebie. This is a freebie this morning. And Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. I want to show you something that Jesus does, and it just, whoa. Sean and I were in the book of Mark this last week, and it so jumped out to me. Mark chapter 8, verse 22. Mark chapter 8, verse 22. And again, Jesus is warning them. He had done such great and mighty works, but what you're going to see is there's a point where he was done. And I'm not trying to fear-monger among you. God is so good. God is so merciful. Here's what I would tell you to do. When God deals with your heart, respond. Do not delay. Do not assume that he'll be dealing with you tomorrow. But there was a point, it looks like, with Bethsaida that he was done. Look at this in Mark chapter 8, verse 22. Just going to read a few verses here. And he, Jesus, verse 22, cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. They wanted him to heal him. And he took the blind man by the hand. Jesus grabs the blind man by the hand. He's going to guide him. And he took him out of the town. I never connected these dots. He takes him out of Bethsaida. This is so fascinating. He takes him out of the town, and when he had spit on his eyes, we're not even going to go there, but when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught, if he saw anything. And he looked and said, I see men as trees walking. And after that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. Verse 26. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town, nor tell it to anyone in the town. Stunning. Jesus had done such great works in Bethsaida that he said this. He loved this blind man. He loved the city of Bethsaida, but there was a point where he said, enough! This blind man comes and he says, let's go outside the city. He heals him outside the city and says, don't tell anybody what happened in the town. That's where out-of-town street preaching began, because that guy didn't go in the town, but he wanted to tell everybody. I don't know. For me, I can't ever read you guys, but that was a cool moment for me. And it was sort of shocking that Jesus said, Bethsaida, no more. I don't want that to be Fairfield, no more. Hamilton, no more. Oh, that God would use us for his glory. And anyway, turn back to Luke chapter 10. That was a freebie. I had never connected the dots. You guys, we can talk about it afterwards. It'd be great. Let's look at Luke chapter 10. Now, let me just catch up to speed. Jesus sends 70 others out. You know, his his primary focus during his earthly ministry was the Father and fulfilling the will of the Father and fulfilling the law. But in terms of instruction and discipleship, it was the 12. But he also was preaching and teaching many, many. It's Jesus always has the best, he's the best example of how we should be teaching, reaching people. So he sends the 70 out, and he comes back to them in verse 17. Let's see this. And the 70 returned again with joy. They come back, and they're going to give a full report to Jesus. And they're coming back with joy, but let's see what their joy is based in. And I think these men were saved, good men. I'm not saying that. And the 70 rejoiced again with joy, saying, Lord, speaking to Jesus, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not. Don't rejoice in that. That's what he's saying. That the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice. Here's what we should rejoice in, because your names are written in heaven. Verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned him unto his disciples. I believe this would be the 12, and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see these things, those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Title of the message this morning, the great privilege of belonging to Jesus. It is super fascinating, right? These 70, they go out and probably nervous, just like you're nervous, you know, when you feel the compulsion. If you're saved here today, you're going to feel a tugging at your heart to tell people about Jesus. I know. Then there's the fleshly resistance. Your flesh will say, not today. They're not interested, and you'll have a million excuses. But you will have a compulsion to go tell people. Well, these 70, I'm sure, they're just like us. Don't exalt them and act like, you know, they were special because God loved them. You're special because God loves you. He'll use you. Will we just obey? So they were probably had all the same apprehensions and nervous, and they go out and God's using them, and they come back, and here's what they say. They say, look at verse 17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, and this is what they really were blown away by. Even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And verse 18, so interesting. Jesus said this, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Now, we know the story of Satan. He lifted himself up to be, he wanted to be like God, and he was kicked out of heaven from living there eternally. And he still visits heaven and accuses the brethren. We know that in the scriptures. But it was no longer his abode. No longer could he live there. And, you know, I've just pondered this. Here's what he's saying. Oh, yeah? So what? I beheld Satan. What does he say exactly? He says, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And then he tells him this. He says, Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. And he says, And over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Here's what I think he was really this. Do you really understand who I am? And for us, do we really understand who Jesus is? He's wanting them to understand this, guys. That is nothing. Nothing. It is, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He says, I give you power over to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I want us to, I don't have it here. So I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 1. Last book in the New Testament, Revelation chapter 1. It was so many words, that's why I didn't put it on the screen. We're going to read verses 10 through 18. And what I really want to do is I want us to get a glimpse of Jesus Christ. And every single person in this room, I fear it's become, blasé, passé. I know that Jesus is the eternal, ever-existing God that came to this earth, and he put on flesh, that's what the incarnation is, and that he lived a perfect life, perfectly fulfilled God's law, never did anything wrong, did everything right, and he died on the cross, took upon himself your sin. He became sin for us, and because of taking upon himself that sin, his body had to die. He was fully in charge of when he died. He died, was buried, and he rose again on the third day. I think for many of us in this room, we're like, that's horrible. I just want us to remind us, these guys were impressed that they had power over devils, over demons. And Jesus says, it's because you don't know who I am. Revelation chapter 1, look at verse 10. Revelation chapter 1. John the Apostle was used of God, given this fully inspired book. And John speaking, when you see the word I, verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. So it was Sunday, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. You're going to see that this is Jesus. So he hears behind him a great voice as of a trumpet, verse 11, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, in Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I want you to see this. This is important. I am Alpha and Omega, the first and last. I want you to know this. What he's saying is this. Jesus is the ever-existing God. I ask people all the time, Aiden, when did Jesus begin? Never. So good. Don't you wish there was a prize for that? I'll tell you this. Afterwards, you can have this, my friend. It'll be special when I'm done. And Jesus never began. So what does it mean that he's the Alpha and Omega? The first and the last. Many will try to teach from false cults that Jesus had a beginning. He never had a beginning. If Jesus is an eternal, if he's not the ever-existing one, I'll see you in hell. The reason why? Only an eternal being, an ever-existing being, can take your eternal punishment. I tell people all the time. And I love the answers I get. I just had a great time yesterday. I'll go, when someone is damned, when does their damnation end? Never. So then I ask this question. Is Jesus still taking your eternal punishment? No. He said, it is finished, paid in full. Let me help you understand. How can that be? He was only on the cross 6 hours, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. I want you to understand this. Because only an eternal being can finish eternal punishment. If he's not an eternal being ever existing, then it's not finished, and you have to finish the work. He could only do it partially. I'm not interested in partial forgiveness and partial restoration. It's all restoration. The ever-existing God, Jesus Christ, he is the Alpha and Omega. Everything starts with him, everything ends with him, and he is everything first to last. I want you to understand that. And so I'm not disappointed if some of you said he's still taking our punishment, but I'll tell you, he's not. Because he is eternal, and you say 6 hours, oh yeah, he's not limited by time because he's eternal. If he's a created being, he's limited, and he's not limited. That is exciting. Is that not good news? If you want to tell people this, if you want to say, oh no, Jesus is not a created being. Oh, he put on flesh, but he existed for all eternity prior to that. It's good stuff. Only eternal being can take our eternal punishment. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. Everything starts and ends with him. And I'll tell you, it will. Verse 12, John speaking here. And he said, and I turned to see the voice. When Jesus speaks, people listen. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And I think those seven golden candlesticks represent the seven churches that we just were mentioned. And he said, in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot. Jesus says this, where two or three are gathered in my name as a church, I'll be in the midst of them also. I want to tell you this. You need to understand this. And I do love that you can sense this. Jesus is walking in our midst this morning, not because we're so awesome, not because we're worthy, not because we got everything right, because he said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I'll be in the midst. And Revelation says this. He's walking in the midst of his candles, of his churches. He's here this morning. You know, just a little check. Did you remember that when you came this morning? The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is in our midst. Verse 12, and he said, I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps, his thighs with golden girdle, his head and hairs were white like wool. You going to get a picture? I think when we see Jesus, you know what color his hair is going to be? A little bit like mine. Probably more like Brother Lee's. You know, a little bit more, I'm thinking, Brother Lee, but, you know, you get to picture it a little bit. But it's good. It says his head and his hairs were white like wool. You know what his hair was like when he was here on earth. It wasn't long, blondish brown. Have you ever seen a Jewish man with blondish brown hair? It was black and bushy. Okay? But today, his head and his hairs were like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. This is the King. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned a furnace, and his voice like the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. I mean, kids never look at the sun, but, you know, it's like, that's how bright Jesus is. It says, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. That's the response. When you see Jesus and fully in all his glory, we can't handle it, but you've got to love the response of the Lord. He's all the love languages wrapped into one, physical touch. My wife's physical touch, right? And so we were so amped up last night from the picnic. We were talking till 3 in the morning. And so, I'm a little juiced. And I haven't had any Diet Mountain Dew this morning. And I know, whew, amen, you guys have been praying about that. And so, but look at this. He laid his right hand upon me. This is just Jesus. He touched him. And he said, fear not. I am the first and the last. Look at this, verse 18. I am he that liveth. I was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. The only way that you and I can conquer eternal death is through Jesus Christ. I want you to remember this. I don't know what your problems are. I don't know what your situation is, but I will tell you this. Jesus is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I didn't say he's going to fix your problems. I will tell you this. He will remove your sin. He will make you right with him, and he will help you understand why you're here, and maybe your problems exist. Maybe you have cancer. I'm not saying your cancer will go away, but I'll tell you this. Serve him with cancer then. Serve him with whatever God has. And sometimes he just might remove it. I'm going to tell you this. Fear not. And I'll tell you, when you read that description, it's like, whoa. And if he's not yours, you ought to be terrified. Not because he's hateful, not because he's mean, but he knows every single thing about you inside and out. And I'll tell you this, he still died for you, he loves you, but I want you to understand this, he must be just, he'll be perfectly just, he'll be perfectly just according to motive, according to knowledge, according to understanding, and every single thing you've done that has violated his law, you will be held accountable for, and that's justice. See, now's the time for mercy. When you die, there is no mercy anymore, because it is appointed a demand once to die and then the judgment. Do we really understand who Jesus is? And oh, Christian, yes, you and I better not be flippant with Jesus as well. We better understand this. He is the King. And I'll tell you this, I think it was a good response when John fell at his feet as dead and he said, I'm not worthy. And Jesus says, you are because I live. Wasn't because of John, it's the goodness of God. I want us to understand this. Do we really understand who Jesus is? If we do, my life will be different. Your life will be different. And I'll tell you, we will never regret our lives. I'll try not to mention it too many weeks. I'm telling you this, Charlie Kirk is honored if he died in any way, shape, or form that would help spread the gospel. And the gospel has been spread further. And potentially in Charlie Kirk's death, he will reach more in his death than he did in his life. That was the testimony of Samson. And I'll tell you this, do you think Charlie Kirk is up in heaven going, what in the world? No, he's with Jesus. And he's with his Savior. Do we really understand who Jesus is? I think if we really understood who he was, then we would, I think we'd honor him. I don't think he'd be so tough. I don't think we'd worry about anything but just, how am I honoring the king? I'm part of the king's court. He's worth it. Second thing I want you to see is, are we rejoicing over the best thing? Look at verse 20. Look at verse 19. He says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, I'm telling you this. I don't believe you can go and touch scorpions and serpents today. I believe that was a temporary thing. Okay, you might disagree with me. I've got in my notes here. I'm just going to show you this, and we're going to talk about this. But look at my notes. I just want to challenge you with this, right? So first, let's look at 1 Corinthians 13. I just want to show you there are some things that were temporary. And we have the perfect Word of God, and so I think 1 Corinthians 13 references. So let's just look at 1 Corinthians 13, and it's okay if you don't agree with me on this. 1 Corinthians 13 says, charity, it's that word for sacrificial giving love. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, that's the word that it can mean the forthtelling of truth or the foretelling of the future. Well, the forthtelling of truth will never end. So this has to be the foretelling of the future. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. So I'm telling you, you hear somebody and they tell you that they can foretell the future, either a liar or it's of the devil. Not of God. Charity never fails. Love, giving, love never fails. But whether there be prophecies foretelling the future, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Tongues, we're just going into that in Sunday school. Tongues is just a word for language. It's the ability to be heard, and I'm going to change my language, Todd. I think it's right. To be heard in someone's own language, right? It's not necessarily to speak it, right? That's awesome. I think that's good. I've had that thought before, but I want it to be ingrained in me a little bit more. People would speak and be heard, and the people would hear them in their language. Heard it this morning? You know, AI just copies Acts chapter 2. You know, hey, how you doing? My name's Steve. You know, it's like, ¿cómo estás? You know, Esteban. And I'm showing you, I don't know much else, but I want to get there one day. Alberto, this is your fault that I don't know Spanish enough. It's not. Charity never fails, but whether it be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether it be tongues, they shall cease. Whether it be knowledge. Not knowledge in general, but special knowledge. You hear anybody on YouTube, on any social media, on television, they say, well, God spoke to me and gave me. Liar. Liar. That's gone. Here's why. Here's why. Whether there be knowledge. That special insight, it shall vanish away. Why? For we know in part and we prophesy in part. When 1 Corinthians was written, they didn't have the completed New Testament. God gave us everything he wants us to know in 66 books. And so he says, but when that which is perfect has come, that's not Christ, that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Tongues ceased very easily. Just history would validate that. Right at the end of the first century, the last book of the Bible was written in 96 AD. I have Mark 16, and so it does relate to my passage. You're like, how are you getting to this passage? So Mark 16 says this, and these signs shall follow them that believe. I think all these signs mentioned here are temporary signs. And so, And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. A lot of people think they're devil caster outers. Exorcist. Now, I think you can pray and ask the Lord to take care of business, and the Lord still cast out demons. You better believe it. I'm not going to be somebody that walks up. Michael wouldn't rebuke the devil. He said, the Lord rebuked thee. Michael could have whooped the devil. And he had enough sense, and he said, I'm going to leave this in the Lord's hands. But God did give temporary ability. In my name shall they cast out devils. You say, Steve, where does it say temporary? Well, they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And they shall drink any deadly thing. It shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So here's what we got. We got people that say, I cast out devils. Let me pick. Okay, I speak in new tongues and I heal the sick. All right, now here's what I tell people. Now you getting where the antifreeze is from? You speak in tongues? Just take a little slurp of this too. Will you take a little drink? Take a little drink of little antifreeze. You want to speak in tongues right here, because I know it. You speak in tongues. You just take a slurpy whirpy. You know, I mean, it's just, how about drink? Kids, terrible, terrible. I'm just telling you this. Oh, you want the things that can't be proven? You know, I'll tell you this. Drink some antifreeze. Do not drink antifreeze. You go, I do speak in tongues. No, you don't. Not the tongues of the Bible. I speak in tongue, English, and you go, not that well. But it's this. You understand this? You know somebody speaks in tongues? Say, I got some antifreeze for you. Drink it. Let's turn to Mark chapter 16. Just drink it. Nothing will hurt you, because if you can speak in tongues, you can also drink this. I got a snake in this basket too. Just reach your hand in there. How many know Cash Amburgie? Cash Amburgie. Follow the arrows and follow the signs. The cash is big bargain barn. I loved going to Cash. Save cash with cash, right? And so that's where I became a deal guy. It's like, Cash Amburgie. And I think he was a Christian, but he misunderstood these passages, and Cash was a snake handler. My parents bought a piano, and I had to play it. I just wanted the deal. And what I missed out on is when they bought the piano, I had to play it. I was like, no, we saved cash with cash. And they're going, you're playing that stupid piano that we bought. And so Cash was at a preaching meeting, and he was handling snakes and got bit. Well, at these meetings, no one would tell you this, they would always have the antidote. Because that's what Mark 16 says. If you get bit, just take the antidote. No. Remember Paul got bit, shook the serpent off, and they're like, he should be swelling any minute now. And then they started worshiping, and he was like, guys, wrong response. They just listen to me. It's Christ. I'll tell you this. We pick and choose. You want to speak in tongues? Drink some antifreeze. You understand this? I'm not telling anybody to drink antifreeze. And I still tell you this. Yeah, I could drink some poison accidentally, and could the Lord overcome that? He could. But I'll tell you this. People were trying to poison Christians. And he said, don't worry about it, guys. Don't worry about it. Nothing will harm you. Nothing will harm you. I watch this thing, you know. Sometimes I watch these murder things, right? Just keep my eye on Deb, right? And so, you know, I need to taste what antifreeze tastes like. This woman killed her husband with antifreeze. He could walk out in the middle of winter and go, I'm not cold. No, I'm just dead. But it's, some of you got that. She killed her husband with antifreeze, put a little bit in it, a little bit in it, a little bit in it, and he died. They were perplexed. They exhumed his body, and they did tests, and they found out it was a generic brand. She didn't even care enough to get him a name brand antifreeze. But she killed her husband. I tell you this, what I'm telling you is, let's say we could speak in tongues. Let's say God uses us greatly. I'll tell you this. You know what Jesus says? Look at verse 20. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not. Don't rejoice over this, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Are you truly excited that Jesus has saved you? That's something worth rejoicing about. That's something to be excited about. And you know this, the average person that says they're a Christian, they're not excited. I meet people all the time. They go, yeah, I'm a Christian. Hang on just a second. Bengals are on. I'm going after you again, Kevin. No, I'm just kidding. It's okay to like the Bengals. It's okay, right? They should be 0-2. But God is with them. Is that right? We can enjoy life. God created this earth, but I want to tell you this. Never rejoice outside of Christ. The best thing that's ever happened to you is that Jesus saved you. And you know this, if we take it for granted, we forget how good it is to be a Christian, how good it is that Jesus loves me. Yes, I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. There's nothing better. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. I love to see people saved. Jesus is better than that. He's better than that. Are we rejoicing over the best thing? Are we rejoicing over the right thing? Third thing I want you to see, and I get to move on it. Do we understand the love of God? Look at verse 21, and it can be so much misunderstanding. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. And so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. Verse 22 is a fact. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and to whom the Son will be revealed. I will tell you this, the only way that anyone will know who Jesus is, know who God is God must reveal himself to them. And I do love this. He says that. He says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. He says in John 1:9, he said, that was not the true light, but he's that was the light that lighteth every man that cometh in the world. That word light means enlightened. Give us understanding. He does. You have nothing because of your intellect. You have nothing spiritual because of you. It's all of the Father. But I want you to notice verse 21. I love this. Verse 21. I may have been a little hard in my preaching so far, but I'll tell you this. I don't think he loved these guys. Do you see this? Jesus said he rejoiced in spirit. You just got to love this. Jesus rejoiced in spirit. What made Jesus happy? He's not talking about the gospel being hid from people, but these things like this. He's like, you know what? I get to give these gifts to these men, and they're just, he loves that they're just tickled pink. He is. He said, Father, I thank thee that it's not to the wise and the prudent. It's to these podunks here, and I'll tell you, I rejoice over it. Let me just tell you, it's this. Is that not the best coloring page you've ever seen? If I entered that next year for Vacation Bible School, it better win. And I know you all knew right away, that is me. Right? Of course it is. Can't you tell? Which one's me? Right there, of course. Handsome, you know. You know, just debonair, right? That's the word you were thinking. I've read your mind. Why is this so special to me? Elia. She did this for my birthday. Did you notice that this is the coloring page of me hugging her? Is that really cool? You know you can do that. So I've printed out some with her, and I'm coloring them. So I color on my off time, and I'm sending them to her. She sent this to me for my birthday. Perfectly within the lines. Rachel was videoing it, and she goes, oh, Elia, you like red. She goes, I love red. I think this is how Jesus sees us. And I'll tell you this. I love this little girl. And love my other grandkids. She's the first. She wouldn't have favorites. They haven't sent me coloring pages. These 6 months old, they need to get with it. And I want you to understand this. Do you understand the love of God? You think you have to perform everything perfectly, be within the lines to please him. I'll tell you what we ought to strive to please him. But at my best, this is my best. He doesn't love me because of my performance. He loves that I colored a picture for him. God is so good. He rejoiced that the Father had given it to men that, from a human perspective, nobody would have said, give them the special treats, Jesus says, they're mine. I loved it. I loved it. I've got scripture, and I'm just for the sake of time, I'll give you those scriptures, but it's all about the love of God, and I don't mean to discount that. Final thought I have, do we appreciate what God has given us? I just tell you this, look at verse 23 and 24. And he said unto his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Do we appreciate what God has given us? Do we really understand, if we start at the beginning, do we really understand who Jesus is? Do we rejoice over the best thing? Do we understand the love of God, and do we appreciate what God's given us? I just sat down, and I want you to enjoy this. I've just got a few things I want you to see. How about life itself? You were given life, and it wasn't an accident. It was by God. Are you thankful for it? How about this? Our senses, our mind, our ability. I love seeing. I love hearing. I love eating. And God's the one that created that. He gave us our minds. He gave us our bodies. What about food, shelter, air, and water? That's all from God. Perfectly balanced, perfectly measured, because he's the designer, and he knew exactly what would be required, and that's what our world has. Creation in all its beauty. It's God. You ought to enjoy what God has created and just be stunned about it. Do we appreciate it? Salvation and forgiveness. I could have put that first. But I want you to understand this. It's not a, yeah, I've done that. It's not a, yeah, I'm good. We should be stunned that he would save us. And that he loves us and he forgives us. We have no understanding what he had to go through. He bore our eternal damnation so that we might be saved. What about grace and mercy? Grace not getting what you deserve, or grace getting what you deserve, mercy not getting what you deserve. I'm just telling you this every day, every day, every day, every day. Just so good, just so good. It's God. If we appreciated him, it'd be great. Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Aren't you glad you're not a dog? Right? I'm about to have a dog enter my life again. I love you guys owning dogs. I've never owned a dog since I've been on my own. Happy for you to have your dog. I love coming to your house, and I love your dogs. It gets me my dog fix. Hey, how are you? See you later. Yeah, don't go in my yard. Go in there. It's right there. Great. I love that green spot. Right? And I'm happy for your dogs. I'm happy for your dogs. But I'll tell you this. What a dud life. So Abby's moving back in with us. We're thrilled. She's going to go back to school. She'll live with us for 3 years. And I'm just excited about it. But Flynn comes with her. He's high maintenance. It's like I haven't been pet in the last 2.3 seconds. And it's like, hey, bud, take a chill pill. It's like, you know, and then if my hand's anywhere near, he'll, you dog, I'll tell you. All right, Flynn, all right. Hey, see your cage? No, she's not even bringing the cage. I'm so glad I'm not a dog. We get to think. We get to know the Lord. You know, there is a little sadness. Flynn doesn't know the Lord. You and I get to know the Lord. We aren't animals. We are created in the image of God. Byproducts of Adam and Eve. Fallen. What about purpose and peace? To be a Christian, oh Christian. Do you understand this, oh Christian? Have you forgotten that we know why we're here? I think we forget all the time. We get distracted every week, every week, every week, and we forget why we're here. It's for his honor and his glory, and every single thing we do will either bring reproach to him or bring honor to him. We know why we're here. Nobody knows why we're here. That's why the world is getting more sinful, because one, our influence is less, but it's also because they don't have a purpose. If we're here randomly, what are we here to do? Just satisfy my old flesh. Just do whatever Stevie Boy wants to do. It's like, if it feels good, do it. That's so opposite of the Bible, and it always ends in destruction. Sometimes it takes 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. Sin never works. We know why we're here. It's to the glory of the King. If you don't like that purpose, I doubt you're going to heaven, because my purpose for all eternity is to glorify the King. I will tell you, you know what? I'll just love it. I think we're going to be able to do things for Jesus. Work won't be work. Maybe it's called work, probably a new name. It'll be like Diet Mountain Dew or something. I don't know what it's going to be called, but work won't be work. Jesus will ask me to do something for him in heaven. Oh, won't it be good? It'll be good. Yes, sir. You think I'll say, after this commercial? You'll think I'll say, well, Lord, you know I'm busy. I love you, but I got all these other things. Yes, my liege. Purpose and peace and people. Love. Love is grand, is it not? It's just grand. Friendship. A church body to belong to. Serve the Lord. That's a gift of God. Isn't it good? Do we appreciate what God's given us? I'll just review and then I'm done. This little passage here. Do we really understand who Jesus is? He is mighty. And he loves us. Are we rejoicing over the best thing, and that's the gospel and salvation? Do we understand the love of God? Do you think you're performing for his love? If you do, it's misery. I want to perform because I love him. And then finally, do we appreciate what God's given us? This passage, we can, as we're reading our Bibles, we can just zoom through it. It's why I love preaching the Bible. It causes me, when I first developed this message, I was going to include the story of the Good Samaritan in it. Can you believe that? You're like, well, we'd be here a long time. I thought, there's not enough here to keep God's people's attention. And then the Lord's like, there's not enough here. Steve, I'm going to preach verse 17 for 3 billion years. Well, you are. And it'll never get old. Here's the fight. And I love being serving with an honest people. Jesus gets old. It's wrong. It's sinful. It's rebellious. How often are we asking God, stir the fires of my heart that I would not look at you for what you are not? They were shocked because they forgot who Jesus was. If you're lost this morning, and we are blessed to have lost people in our midst, have you ever truly turned to Christ in faith? If you have, he'll change you. He will help you honor him. Are we impressed with God? Let's pray.